Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
I love that. Thank you, Kendi, for that. That is something that I use all the time. Automate your giving, all right? And so that you make sure that you automatically sow so you can automatically reap what God has for you. Amen. But I want to just say happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, all the father figures, all the spiritual dads out there, all the men that step up and are big, amazing in the community of faith and in the community. I want to pray before we get started. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts today. God, you know what we need to hear. You know the challenges that dads face today. You know the challenges, God, that everybody face. And so we thank you, Lord, that we would hear something from you today, something that would move us, something that would challenge us, something that would, God, help us to correct our course, to be in a place where we're blessed, that we are in the perfect spot that you want us to be. Thank you, God, that you want us to be successful. It's your desire to bless your sons and daughters. So, God, let us hear something that helps us to walk into that reality. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. So, like I said, we just celebrate the fathers today. And today, we not only celebrate dads, but we want to ask ourselves, what should a dad look like? So, I want to talk to you today about the DNA of a dad. The DNA of a dad. And the incredible thing about what we have in a life of faith is we can look at our Heavenly Father and get clues to what we're supposed to look like. So what should a dad look like? Look at somebody and say, the DNA of a dad. So what should it look like? I want to give you a couple of biblical snapshots of what a father should look like. And if you will, go with me to Matthew 1, 2. And this is incredible because before we even get to the gospel story where Matthew is telling the account of Jesus, which Jesus is the foundation of everything that we believe in as Christians, but before he gives us the incredible story of Jesus, he feels that it's very important to lay this out. Watch this. Abraham is the father of Isaac. Isaac is the father of Jacob. Jacob is the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah. Perez was the father of Hezron. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. There are 39 fathers that are listed before he even goes on to tell the story of Jesus. He wants you to know the fathers that were involved that brought us to the point of Jesus. So Matthew's gospel starts off this way, 39 fathers in 15 verses. And of course, if you add our Heavenly Father, God, you have 40, which is a powerful numerical number in biblical numerology. But the New Testament starts this way by listing these hall of heroes, these legendary dads. And it's a way of Matthew recognizing and God saying in his word that fathers are an important part of the plan, even the plan to bring about salvation. So before Matthew tells us the story about Jesus, he tells us the story about the fathers that brought about this incredible event. And actually, everybody has a father. You, me, everybody in this room. And Matthew goes on to tell in Matthew 2:22 that even the bad guy in the story has a father. And so the story goes right here in Matthew 2:22 is that Joseph was coming back from Egypt, right? Because he hid in Egypt with Jesus because Herod was killing all the babies, right? In Bethlehem. So he decides now Herod is dead, but he's going to go back. But then he decides to change where he was going to live, where he was going to raise Jesus and be with his wife Mary. He hears that Archelaus is reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod. And so he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. So he made a decision based on this man that was in power, he said, well, his father was Herod. His father was a bad guy. So I'm betting that he is a bad guy too. So it's important who the father is. Fathering is an important part. Who is your father? Who is your father figure? Who's speaking into your life on that level? Who's raising you up? Who's molding you into the person that you'll become? Because our DNA greatly depends on our father. And this is true in the natural, right? You can see somebody looks like their father in the natural. It's also true in the spiritual. We draw heavily from what we see in our fathers. We get our DNA from our fathers. And of course, our mothers. Well, we're going to talk about fathers today. Get our DNA from our fathers. And we have natural DNA. We have spiritual DNA. In Matthew 3:9, Jesus says this, and this is really interesting because he's saying it doesn't matter where you start off. What matters is the decisions that you make and where you end up. And this is what he warns. He says, don't just say to each other, we're safe, right? Don't just say to each other, we're safe. I was born into a good family. I was born in a good place, right? For we're all descendants of Abraham. We're safe because we're descendants of Abraham. We're Jews. That means nothing, Jesus says. Now, that means nothing, for I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. So this is the incredible equalizer in faith. It doesn't matter where you started off. God can take you as he adopts you into his family. It levels the playing field to say when God adopts you, you have a new identity. God is your heavenly father. And just because you came from a bad, dysfunctional family or you came from a great family, God evens the playing field. This is so great. So if you come from a great family, what's the word for you? Don't get comfortable. Don't get casual. If you come from a dysfunctional family, guess what? There's hope. In Jesus, there's hope because your heavenly father is giving you a new identity. So God is saying, I'm evening the playing field by becoming your father. And God can raise up children from unlikely places. So we don't have to just think, I have to be from an awesome family. If you're from a great family, awesome. If you're not from a great family, God can work with that too. Amen. So God uses also, then he's talking about the spiritual father, Abraham. He uses spiritual fathers. So that means the natural fathers don't get all the fun. God actually uses people as spiritual fathers and father figures in people's lives. So this is an incredible thing that actually happens in the body of Christ, that he doesn't leave you without. So say you're coming out of a dysfunctional situation with your family. You can come into the family of God and find a father figure. It's called a spiritual father. That's one term that we use. So this is what's so awesome, because the same God, Jehovah Jireh, that will provide finances for you, right? That will provide things and open doors for you. Guess what? He also provides in a family area. So just because you come from brokenness or just because you come from dysfunction doesn't mean you have to leave that way. So God will raise up spiritual fathers for those that need a father. This is awesome. This is God's way of stepping up and making a way for things that are lacking. Because God is so about fatherhood. He's not going to leave us without, because fatherhood is a huge part of his plan. And so much so that Matthew goes on, and he's now we're starting to talk about the disciples. And so it's important to Matthew to say where the disciples come from. And so he says in Matthew 4:21, a little farther up the shore, as Jesus walking down the shore picking his disciples, and he sees two other brothers, James and John. Where are James and John? They're sitting in the boat with who? Their father, Zebedee. They're repairing the nets, and then Jesus calls out to them to come. So Matthew felt it was important. This is where the disciples come from. This is who fathered the disciples. Now, of course, it doesn't tell us who all the disciples' fathers were, but it's important to see here that Matthew wanted to mention this, because it's important who fathers you. And I believe this is a very important part of spirituality. You cannot be discipled without being fathered. a lot of times people get this mixed up. They think they can just pick and choose from here and there and ad hoc and listen to a couple of teachings on YouTube and get there where God wants them to go. But actually, fathering is a very important component of faith. We look at Matthew, it says, this person fathered this person, this father fathered this person fathered that person. And so fathering is this theme that Matthew starts off with, what the gospel starts off with. And the early church fathers said, let's put Matthew as the first gospel account of Jesus. So the early church fathers thought that Matthew's account was very important, his viewpoint. Everyone needs a father. The disciples had fathers. Jesus had a father. And Paul said it like this about fathers, 1 Corinthians 4:15. For even if you have 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you only have one spiritual father. For I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you. So that means that we might be getting nourished and be edified, and we're learning something from here, and I'm reading the word, and I'm talking to some brothers and sisters, and I'm going and listening to a sermon over here and a sermon over there. But God is going to bring somebody into your life that is a spiritual father, a father figure, because this concept of fathering is so important. It's not just for the natural, it's also for the spirit. And so this is what we see. We all have a place in our life that has to be filled by a father. And it's so incredible, because even if you don't have one or you don't pick one, someone will step up and fill that vacuum in your life. I don't know if you've noticed this, but you say, okay, well, I don't have one, or I just don't need that. And then guess what? There's this vacuum, and somebody steps up and begins to speak to you in a fatherly way. And that can be somebody that God sends, or that could be somebody that the enemy sins, unfortunately. So we have to be aware, and we have to be intentional of who we allow to speak into our life on this fatherly level. Let's go back to the story here in Matthew 4:21. Okay, so he goes up the shore. He sees the two brothers, James and John, sitting in the boat with their father, repairing the nets, and then he calls to them to come. And verse 22 says, they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Now, I don't think the point of this story is that they broke ties and broke relationship with their father. It's that at this point, Jesus wanted to take them further, so they needed a deeper level of discipleship. Okay, so follow me for a second here. Zebedee was a great father, from what we can see in the scripture, right? He provided for his sons. His sons were healthy. His sons were learning a craft. He was teaching them how to provide a living for themselves and their family, and he had taught them about the things of God. So what we know about Zebedee, he was a good dad. But Jesus was saying, now I want you to come and follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And so they begin to rearrange their lives so that they could make room for Jesus. And Jesus would mentor them, Jesus would disciple them, and Jesus would even father them. Okay, so there's always a role and always a need for a father. We can never say, oh, I've outgrown the need for a father. No, these men, these grown men now, Jesus says, come and follow me. I'm going to teach you some things now. Now, this is an important thing about our life and our lifestyle as we live the Christian faith. Matthew 5:16. Now, this is how we're supposed to reflect our father. Watch this. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise who? Your heavenly Father. So the way that I live my life should point back to God the Father. And that's so important, because in the world that we live with, people have all kinds of crazy ideas about God, that he's high and lofty, that he's judgmental, that he's this, that he's that. But to do the type of work and to live the type of lifestyle that people look at us and say, man, wow, what a good, good father. God is like a father. God is an amazing heavenly father. So let your good deeds shine out so that everybody that sees you will praise your heavenly father. Man, thank God for the way that guy's acting. Man, we need more people in the world that you say, man, thank God that person was a good person. Thank God that person had some humanity. Thank God that person was kind. Thank God that that person was thoughtful. Thank God that person was courteous. And so if we have his DNA in us, it's showing in the way that we live. It should show in the way that you live who your father is. When we live this life, our deeds should line up with our faith, and our faith should be consistent with the DNA of God, our Father. So our actions point back to God. What a testimony when people around you look at you and say, man, that person really reflects the character of God. That person really lives a type of life that makes you think, man, they follow after God. They reflect God's image. And when we're in relationship with our Heavenly Father, that's just a natural byproduct. We just, to take on his DNA, to show his DNA in the way that we live. People that know my natural father, they say, well, you talk like him. You do this like him. You do that like him. That's a natural byproduct of hanging out with your father, right? The more you hang out with your father, the more you're going to pick up on his mannerisms, the more you're going to pick up on the way that he does things, the way that he says things. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. The more that we spend time with him, the more that we're going to reflect his character and reflect his way of doing things in our life. When we spend time with a father, his attributes are imparted to us. When we spend time around your dad, you will start to act like him. That's true in the natural, true in the spiritual, because the principle of fatherhood is strong. It is written in the code of nature. When you get around a father, you will begin to reflect the way he is. And you find, you know, that sometimes, you know, I've been around some great fathers that weren't my spiritual father, but just spending time with them, some of those attributes rubbed off on me. And but because the reason it works that way is because God created it in this way that a father's virtue is imparted to his children. A father is made to impart virtue. His virtue. Now, if your virtue is terrible, then that's what you're going to impart, right? Ever been around some guy and it's just everything coming out of his mouth is just a bad idea, right? That's an example of the other side, right? But a godly man was built and designed and created to be a father. Every man has the capacity to be an amazing dad. Not all men grow up to be an amazing dad, but all men have the capacity, because God created them that way, to impart godly virtue to their children, to their spiritual children, to those that they're a father figure to impart the virtue. And so that's why it's so important that we're careful who we allow to father us. And if we're fathers, all the fathers in the room, we have to be careful what's going on inside of us, because that's going to be imparted to others. Why? Because we were designed to impart our virtue. Fathering is powerful. What is the greatest gift a dad can give to his kids? Is it a big house for them to live in? Is it fancy clothes? Is it great gifts on their birthdays? Or is it the time that he spends with them? I think that the time that a father spends with a child is the greatest gift. Fathers, the time that we give our kids is monumental. And God knows this, and God's desire is to spend his time with us, and for us to spend our time with him. It's, you know, the greatest thing that God can give us is not the next open door or the next blessing or favor. All those things are good, right? Even bringing a relationship or bringing a spouse into your life, those are all awesome things that God can do. But the greatest gift actually that God gives us as our Heavenly Father is his time. The greatest gift is his presence. And time spent with our Father makes us better human beings. Makes us better Christians. Makes us better fathers. Makes us better spouses. Makes us better friends. Makes us better in our purpose when we spend time with our Heavenly Father. That's the power of spending time with him. And, you know, one of the great things, really about when we spend time with him is that we realize that he is looking for an opportunity to reward us. And I think this is where society gets the wrong idea about God, because they think he's looking for a reason to punish us, but he's actually looking for a reason to reward us. And that's the flip, that the more that you spend time with God, you realize that he is a rewarder. Actually, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." And so the more I spend time with him, the more I understand he wants to reward me. He wants to reward me just for spending time with him. And he wants to reward me for other things. And Jesus kind of tells some of these things to us in Matthew 6. These are a few of the things that God really wants to reward. I know when me and Pastor Corinne at our house, there's some things that our kids do, and we really want to celebrate them for those things. We're actually looking for opportunities to reward them. But there's some things that they know, man, if I do this, if I clean up my room, or I, you know, if we're nice to each other and we're not fighting and we're not bickering, or we help with our baby sister, you know, these are the things that we celebrate. These are the things that we reward. It's the same is true about God, our Heavenly Father. There are things that he is looking for to reward. He's not waiting for an opportunity to punish us. He's waiting for an opportunity to reward us. A principle, an excuse, an opportunity, an open door. He's looking for an opportunity to reward us. And he's dropped all these amazing breadcrumbs throughout the Word of God to show us, give us hints, do this, do that, do this. Please do this, because I want to bless you. You know, like a good parent, a good father is saying, please do this stuff so I can reward you, you know. Sometimes I find myself doing it. Please, kids, do this stuff, because I want us to have a good day. I want to be able to do these other things for you. This is God's desire, God's design for us, is that we understand his heart and understand his will and do those things in obedience so that he can bless us, so that he can reward us. That is his desire. That is his design. And in all of our life, we're looking back to the Father. What is his DNA? Is his DNA reflected in us? To other people, when they see us, do we look like we're bearing the image of our Heavenly Father? Man, there's all types of images we can bear these days. All type of things being promoted in society. But to bear the image of God, that's what we were designed to do. In Genesis, from the very beginning, we were created in his image and his likeness. We were designed to look like God. When people look at us, they should see the DNA of God. And even though Adam and Eve messed it up, Jesus came back to set it right again, so that we could once again bear the image of our Heavenly Father. And when people look at us, they see the DNA of God. They see his love. They see his joy. They see his peace. Man, in a world that is crumbling, in a world that's messed up, that's flawed, to see people that bear the image of God, that show unconditional love, not some superficial, not some quasi-love with an agenda behind it. No. To see true love, to see true compassion, to bear the image and the DNA of God. How important, how powerful is that? How life-altering, how world-changing is that for God's children to grow up and bear his DNA, that the world will know his love. Not misunderstand and think it judgment and this and that and the other. Are some of those things? Yes, those are realities. But God's character is love, first and foremost. What is his DNA? Let's bow our heads today. God, I thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here, especially the dads. God, I thank you for everybody here today, especially the dads. God, touch, God, all of our dads. God, touch their hearts today. They've got big responsibilities on their shoulders. And God, those that are natural dads, those that are spiritual dads and father figures, God, there's a lot of responsibility there because there's eyeballs looking up at them and people looking to them to set some type of example, and they're gauging the way that they're living off the words that are coming out of these men's mouth. So God, help us to reflect your DNA. God, help us to sound like you, our Father. So when we father like you, Father. God, help us be better fathers today. God, I know some of the fathers in this room are doing an outstanding job. But other fathers in the room might be saying, man, I'm kind of struggling. I'm trying to figure some things out. God, help them figure the things out that they need to figure out. But God, I know we can all grow. All of us dads. We can get a little bit better. We can mirror the image of our Heavenly Father a little bit better. God, help us do that. God, help us do that. I pray, God, for each and every person that's here. God, every son, every daughter, every person, God, that maybe they come from dysfunction. And they're saying, man, I don't know what you're talking about, this father figure. I kind of understand conceptually, but I want it to be a reality in my life. God, I pray that you would make yourself so real to them. God, that they would feel your love, your touch, your hand upon them as a father today. Not just a God, not just a Savior, but as a father. God, I pray that you would provide for them any area of need, any area of lack. God, if they're missing a father figure, God, that you add a father figure to their life, God. Provide for them where they lack today. God, I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You're the one that provides, the God that provides. And we know in your word it says you will withhold no good thing from us. So God, I thank you for that. I thank you, God, for each and every person is here. And maybe there's somebody here while heads are bowed and you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be in my life with Jesus. I feel disconnected from God the Father. I feel disconnected from my relationship with Jesus, and I need to reconnect. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you today. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, if you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody can say this prayer with us. Jesus, thank you for everything you've done. For dying on the cross for me. For giving me a fresh start. For wiping away all my sins and shortcomings. Jesus, I'm sorry for the times I failed. Help me. Help me be better. Help me be like you. Jesus, save me. But don't just save me. Lead me. Walk with me. Teach me how to do it your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God the praise today. I just want to celebrate what God is doing. He's making us better. Dads, he's making us better. Moms, he's making us better people. He's making us better Christians. He's making us better friends. He's making us better humans. Amen? Well, I want to tell you, I want to remind you, if you've got Jesus, you are undefeated. Have a great Sunday.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.